gonna take a lot of love to change the way things are. It's gonna take a lot of love.
Kia ora koutou. Welcome to the Caravan of Hope, promoting peace and safety and well-being for every human being on earth with me, Brent Caldwell.
And me, COVID Omatic.
We're coming to you from Otipoti, Dunedin in the South Island of Aotearoa, New Zealand. And today is Wednesday, the 20th of March. What are we talking about today, COVID?
We're talking about a couple of things. I went on the march on Saturday. Would you like me to talk about it now?
Yeah, so you're going to talk about the march. There was an exhibition.
There was an exhibition too, yes.
And you've been scouring the news reels, and you've got a bit of good news and a bit of bad news for humanity.
Yes. Well, should we talk about that then?
Okay. And then you were thinking that we might do a bit of a meditation.
Yeah, I was thinking when I talk to people, a lot of people when they're faced with what's happening in Gaza or in the Ukraine or whatever. A lot of people turn off. They kind of go, oh, I can't, it makes me sad, or it makes me upset, or, you know, it brings me down, makes me depressed. And then you get the other people who get fully involved in it and often sort of get burned out, actually, compassion burnout, I think it's called. So just wanted to offer a kind of mindfulness exercise meditation that can kind of help us to resource ourselves, really. I mean, there's lots of other things you can do too.
A bit of self-care to go the long distance, and that's nice for me because that's actually how I met you. I did one of those mindfulness courses back in the day that you were running at the community centre.
So
let's maybe just start with rounding up some of the things that have been up to you. Went on the march on Saturday.
I went on the march. There had been a little bit of confusion about whether the marches were going to continue.
Yeah.
And so I think that reflected on lower numbers than normal.
Right.
But there was probably about 100 people, and it was still good to be there and just to be supporting the cause, to be there with the other people who were getting to know these people by sight, if not by name. And just realizing, you know, the stuff still happening in Gaza, still happening in Palestine, in the West Bank, and there was this thing about Joe Biden going to send the food over on a ship somewhere and supplies, which of course is, I don't know how many days away, and do they have a pier to unload it? I don't know.
Well, we talked about that last week. That was because Gwyn Dyer, the journalist, the freelance journalist, whose articles appear in the Otago Daily Times, which is our local national broadsheet newspaper, and is syndicated throughout the world. But he was getting stuck into them about how that's all going, building the Pier of Hope and, you know, building a bridgehead for the supplies. But yeah, and I think when we talked about it last week, it was going to take something like 15 days for that boat to get there, so it's probably still about a week away, I'd imagine.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it, you know.
No.
But it would have been much easier if you just said to the Israelis, open the gates and let the trucks through. And don't start shooting the people who go and try and get the aid parcels and rations.
Wouldn't that be good?
That would be very good, yes.
Unlikely, and sadly.
Sadly.
So, okay, so the marches are continuing, and I guess because there's been lots of things on in our city, we have a fringe festival that I'm involved in, and we've had the students back in orientation. There was a fringe event in the Octagon last Saturday. So, yeah, I can understand the confusion. I saw a really interesting post when I was scrolling on Facebook this morning that said, just because we're not posting and that we're not putting up pictures and we're not reporting doesn't mean the situation's gone away.
That's right.
And I think, you know, like you say, sometimes there's a bit of fatigue that sets in about following these news events. So, yeah, probably worth giving it a wee thought.
And just to say, actually, next week we're going to have a lady called Olga whose last name I've forgotten, but who is a member of the Ukraine community. And I realised that actually, you know, Ukraine has kind of dropped into the background since Gaza came up. And probably Gaza will drop into the background with the total shambolic farce that's going to happen in the United States.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Let's not even go there today.
I mean, the one good thing about what's been happening is all the people protesting, all the people actually saying, you know, actually, you know, this is not what we want. What the politicians are doing, pretty much across the world, but not all the world, many Western nations, is actually not what people want on the ground. And so that has actually changed, I think, as Robert Patman said, you know, that's radically changed in the States, where people are getting their news from different outlets, social media, and, you know, more than 60% of the country, and I think even 50% of the Republicans, want a ceasefire.
Yeah.
And so that's why Joe Biden actually finally decided, oh, you know, there's some bad things happening over in Gaza. We'd better do something about it because nobody else is. But now I think you said that, was it Trump said, if you vote for...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was saying if you vote for the Democrats, you basically hate Israel and their religion. It's just, yeah, he's desperately making assertions and saying wild things that just keep him in the media. And it's shocking that so many people are going to sit on their hands and allow him to get his hands on the White House again. And it's almost like it's a foregone conclusion. It's terrifying in a way, but I don't know. Maybe we need to experience the complete lows before we can trade our way out and find someone with a bit of moral integrity who can develop things a little bit better for the world. I'm not saying the president develops the world, but you know, they have such a big influence.
They have a big influence, and you know.
And as Robert Patman says, the problems we're all facing now are not contained within political borders. And, you know, the refugee situation was predicted. I remember reading in a Time magazine towards the end of last century, it was saying about how environmental and financial refugees will become the biggest challenge of this century. And it's playing out. You know,
and then the political refugees are doubling it.
Yeah, so you've got people still drowning in the Mediterranean trying to cross from Libya. You've got the state of Texas just creating a new law whereby they can prosecute and arrest people suspected of being immigrants. That just happened. That law has just been passed and upheld by the Supreme Court. But everywhere around the world, I mean, when I was in the UK about, you know, 8 years ago during the Brexit election, I was there the night of the election, and you know, that was all about.
You always seem to be in the right places at the right
time. I know.
You're and a bit like Forrest Gump, aren't you?
That makes you my Jenny. We like peas and carrots. No, I was abroad in 2016, and it was just phenomenal. I was in the UK for the Brexit vote, and then my sons and I drove across the States during the lead up to the presidential election. And it was odd that the mainstream media and everyone reported that the nut jobs wouldn't get voted in, and they did.
And you just see the craziness of it. Mm. This recent thing come out of the States where Biden and the Democrats are putting forward some motion to get funds to work, to prevent, you know, work with the migrants, stopping the immigrants. And you think, oh, and I remember listening, it was a political reporter in the States was doing it on the news, not on the news, on the radio. And the person was saying, oh, well, of course, that'll go through fairly easily, won't it? Because everybody wants that. And he says, no, Trump's told his supporters, the Republicans, who want actually to stop the immigrants, to not vote for this bill. so that the place is in touch, so that he can take the credit for getting the immunity. Because it's like, what, to call them children is actually an insult, but that's kind of the word that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's
It's
become,
frightening, actually.
yeah, well,
It's frightening when you realize how
history's taught us that
stupid it got.
empires rise and empires fall, and people stand by and think, oh, it can never change, nothing could ever possibly happen. Well, we don't know. We've just seen the re-election of a dictator in Russia who's currently undertaking a war against a peaceful neighboring country. Yeah, there's lots of things that can are happening. But when we come back to this podcast and what we're about, we have to believe that there is in every person a sense of what's right and what's morally right as a sentient being on a planet full of sentient beings. And maybe that's the experiment of the human race, is for them to work their way through and find out, what's the best way to try and exist. And currently, the report card's not so flash. Okay, it was a bit gloom and doomy, Kovido. Well, tell us about the exhibition that you went to.
Well, the exhibition was held in, interesting, a tattoo gallery, tattoo agency it's called, who provided the space and everything. And so various local artists had done works either directly representing Palestine in some way, or had just put in works which would be sold, the benefits sent to help, UNICEF maybe. And some of them were very touching. There was one particularly, well, there was a lot, quite a few touching, but one particularly touching one was the somebody had made this white kite out of material, and I don't know if you remember, and underneath it was a poem from the Palestinian poet who got killed,
Oh,
and before he
yes.
died, he
Yeah,
left
we
this poem,
yeah.
which was, "If I die, fly a white kite, so you may have hope to, for his children, basically."
Yeah.
So that was very moving. And talking, I was talking to Rula actually, and she was very distressed. She'd heard from a hospital, I don't know how much hospitals are working, but from a hospital in Gaza where they'd had five children come in between the age, I think, I guess they were dead. I don't know. I didn't ask her who'd be, or between the age of 5 and 9, who'd all had a single bullet hole in the head. And it was like, this is not, this is not accidental. Somebody is sitting there aiming at children, and you just think, it's sort of gone beyond. I think, as Alison said, it's kind of gone beyond even what we can call the normal bounds of warfare, and even atrocious warfare. It's like, that was just, oh, that just kind of hit me. It was like, and that's terrible. And I also think, well, these poor soldiers who are doing it, what's their life going to be like? Their life is ruined. If you've shot a child through the head, that's, it's not only, Israel's going to be stuffed. The whole generation are going to be stuffed. They'll either have PTSD, well, they'll all have PTSD, and they'll either take it out by getting drunk or getting into drugs or killing themselves, or which is what happened to the Vietnam vets,
It's interesting, isn't it? You think of the human race as an experiment. I mean, our capacity not to learn from previous mistakes, or to, I don't know, to claim that one life is more important than another. It's
It's crazy, isn't it?
but I guess anyone who's in those situations who'd be listening to us might be saying, well, it's very all very well for you sitting 12,000 miles away in your nice little South Pacific country. You know, if you'd had to deal with the generational changes we've had to deal with, if you had to fight for survival, you might have a different view. And I completely understand that.
I think, but I don't think that's fighting for survival.
No,
That's
but
something else.
we're in no way judging people, but we're
Well, I am actually. I'm judging people.
Well, good on you. I'm really just saying, you know, okay, all the evidence points to the fact that whatever we choose to do is not working. There has to be another way. And at which point does it become critical for us to do that? We've got a planet that's dying. We've got political systems that are becoming more and more twisted and rotten and sort of creating situations whereby we're putting people in power who have no other interests rather than feathering their own nest, building their ego, and even our own government, you know, who this week have made unannounced cuts and variations to funding for disabled people, you know, putting online casinos, removing smoke-free legislation. You know, it's all targeted at a bottom line, which we can't pay for, and we don't have a checkbook that big. So, and it's always based on this illusion that, you know, well, if we tighten the belts, you know, we'll get a better society out of it. Well, that's not true.
It reminds me of the time I used to live in Puna Weir, which is down in the Catlins, down by the sea. And one day we had this incredible gale, you know, I don't know, it was a typhoon or something, but it was huge storm, you know. And I looked out the window in the middle of, and there's a man from the electricity company who's climbing up one of the power poles in order to fix it, you know, in the middle of this gale. And I was thinking about that. I thought, you know, this is amazing. This chap's here doing it. I mean, you know, we could have waited till the next morning, you know, but anyhow, he's there. So I think it might have been nighttime too. And then I thought, you know, this guy's probably getting paid at that time, you know, 20 years ago, probably getting paid $25 to $30 an hour, you know, for being up the thing. And the person in charge of that particular energy company was probably earning $3 or $4 million a year, sitting in a cozy office, working probably 8 hours a day if you're lucky, making decisions with 20 other people who also help him make the decisions. And what seemed to happen with those big companies, and probably still happens, is if the CEO makes the wrong decision, they gently push him out with a kind of $1 million handshake. And if he makes the right decision, they give him a $2 million bonus, you know. And you kind of think, well, actually, who's doing the work? You know, there's something about our system that is.
Well, famously, last century they tried to change how that worked, and I think it was called the Bolshevik Revolution, and it's kind of horribly backfired.
Yes, it did. Actually, what Marx said was a wonderful thing. From each according to their ability, to each according to their need. And that was beautiful, but unfortunately, it did backfire. And yes,
So, the
some
human race is
atrocities were
still
said
trying
about
to find the way forward, and sometimes you've got to lose everything before you gain everything.
Well, I did hear some good news. Was in Australia, they've just brought in a 28% pay rise for care workers for the aged, which is like, well, that's some recognition, you know.
And that's been a long grind. It's their Fair Work claim, and yeah, 28.5%, that's
That's good, you know.
It is, it's, but it's probably only keeping up with the CPI and the time that's taken the thing to happen.
But at least it's kind of recognised, you know.
Yeah, true.
Because, you know, we do that. We put our parents, beloved parents, into these homes. We pay vast amounts of money. And the poor people don't get paid very much. But I have to say, my mother-in-law was in part of an institution for quite a long time, and the staff were amazing despite being paid a pittance. And the companies that run these homes are making record profits for their shareholders, who are probably the, I don't know who they are.
That's a whole other can of worms.
Anyhow,
so this conversation's talked about some sort of pretty overarching themes that we always talk about because that's where our heads are. We know that there's lots of people suffering around the world at the moment. We know that sometimes when it can get too much, we tend to just change channel and, you know, sort of zone out. But there are some steps you can take if you're feeling a wee bit overwhelmed or you're kind of wanting to center yourself. And you've had a wee thought that today we might just talk about or even undertake a short meditative process to help with that?
We could do, and I will do that. And I was just thinking before that I was just listening to a monk give a talk, and he was talking about the practice of loving kindness. And he said he remembered doing loving kindness when he was a young monk, and where you're saying, may people be well, you know, may be happy, may you be healthy. And remembering after a month or two doing that, could have been a year, he was walking up and down just feeling hatred and anger. And, you know, and so his mind is what he should be doing is feeling this loving states, but actually in his mind what was actually happening was the anger and hatred. So he went to his teacher and the teacher said, well, what you need to do is walk up and down and swear and shout and be angry. And I think that's a really useful thing to do, actually, is to do it. And ways that I know myself and other friends do it are, actually last night I went to this dance event, which is called Wave, and has five parts. It begins peaceful, and then it's staccato, and then it's chaos. And then it calms down again to peace again. And in the chaos, you have this really loud music. And those instances, I just go,
yeah.
And you know, even not necessarily saying any words, but just kind of getting that kind of angst. Sometimes it's angst. It can be about the world. Yeah. It can be anger. You know, other people do it. They play the music loud in their car and they just swear and yell as they're going along. And people think they're singing along, which is great.
There's a lot to be said for yelling in a pillow as well.
You can yell in a pillow, but it's not quite the same because the pillow covers you. But you can hit the pillow.
So if you're out Northeast Valley Way and you hear someone yelling, don't panic. It could just be COVID letting off some steam. But yeah, I think what you're saying is that sometimes there has to be an outlet.
There has to
because
be an outlet.
As a container, we can only take so much.
We take so much. And people get what's called compassionate burnout, people who have good hearts, you know, maybe in professions like teaching or, you know, nursing.
Social work,
care work. People who care, a lot of people get burnout.
Mm.
And so you need to have that one way to get rid of this stuff, because when we take stuff in, it's actually in our bodies. You know, you sort of take it through your mind, but if you don't actually release it, it's in your body. So it's important to do something physical. It's really good to run, to walk, to swim, to play soccer.
Pickleball,
whatever you do. Yeah. And then, yes. And so that's one way of doing it. Another way is through mindfulness, particularly through being kindness to yourself, which is maybe what we might do now.
Okay. So I'm now going to pass over to Kovido, and he's going to lead us through a small mindfulness meditation. So you might want to just pause this and get yourself comfortable, but I'll now pass over to Kovido.
Okay, so you can just find a comfortable seat. If you want to, you can do this lying down, or you can do it walking around if you want. But if you are walking around, probably better to have your eyes open. So you have your eyes open or your eyes closed. Just taking a couple deep breaths. Just allowing yourself a sigh on the out-breath. A sigh is a great way of releasing tension from our jaw and our neck. Just allowing yourself to settle here. Settle in the way things are. Noticing the sounds. Sounds around you. Maybe the sound of machines or traffic. Maybe birds. Maybe other people. Just letting these sounds come and go. Just bringing attention to your body, feeling your feet on the ground, being supported by the chair. Feeling your arms on your lap. And just noticing the body breathing. Noticing the breath coming in, the breath going out. You don't have to breathe in any particular way. Sometimes people think that mindfulness or meditation means you have to get rid of all the thoughts. But that's actually incredibly difficult to do and isn't actually the aim of it. What meditation is more about is noticing what's happening at this moment with a sense of curiosity, a sense of kindness. Just be checking with your body, with your mind, just checking if there may be some areas that feel a little bit tense, painful. Just bringing a kindness to those areas, just kind of holding those areas in your mind like you would with a little kitten or a baby. Sense of touching, that kind of touching, you can either be saying, you can also be saying some kind of soothing words to yourself. It's okay. You're all right. Or I'm here for you. Just like you would say, many of us are much better at saying those things to other people. But when we feel a little bit upset, whether it's physically or emotionally, or maybe feeling despair, depressed, anxious, angry. First thing really is just to recognize it. Just to recognize, actually, gosh, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling really despairing. Actually, I don't feel that well at the moment. And often this is quite difficult to do. We kind of want to put on a good face, even to ourselves. And we often deny it. But these things keep on going, and eventually we kind of notice, oh, gosh, I am feeling a bit wrecked. So just bringing a bit of kindness. What does it feel like in your body? What are the thoughts happening in your mind? What emotions go with it? Just kind of gentle investigation. We don't have to get rid of them. They're natural emotions. All these things come and go. And they're like little children. They need tending to. So if you have something like that at the moment, a little something or other, just being soothing to yourself. Just saying it's okay to feel like this. And it's actually natural when we look at the state of the world. It's actually, you know, everybody should be feeling despair and anxiety and anger. That's the natural response of a human being to the situations we see. And we do what we can to make a change. But we also need to tend to ourselves. We need to look after ourselves. If we are going to make a difference, we actually need to be looking after ourselves physically, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. And your mind might go, oh, no, it's not okay, you know, I should be doing this, I shouldn't be like that. And just gently coming back again to your breathing, sitting here, just saying it's okay, you're okay. These feelings are valid. They won't last forever. And our minds get carried away from things that happened in the past or maybe things that we have to do in the future. We just notice that. Here you go, there's that thinking mind, busy mind. That's what it does, you know, but that's not all of who we are. We can be aware of that. Just come back to sitting here, breathing, listening to the sounds. Feeling the sense of your hands touching each other or resting on your lap. Just whatever brings into presence. In the present moment, being present. From that place, when we're more present, we have a bigger chance of being able to act in an effective and compassionate way. The old saying, you can't give people water from a jug unless you've actually got water in the jug. So it's important that we refill our own jugs, whatever way is suitable and we find effective. And there are many different ways of doing it, which mindfulness and meditation is just one. Just returning to sitting here, breathing. Just noticing how you feel. Just feeling the air around you, the space. And just taking a couple of deep breaths. Wiggle your fingers and toes. And you rub your hands together. Give your face gentle massage, neck, or anywhere else needs it. And open your eyes in your own time if you did have them open, closed.
Very good.
Thank you.
I'm feeling very peaceful and very centered at the moment.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. And hopefully those of you who are watching or listening have enjoyed the opportunity to do that. That's about it for us this week, I think, isn't it? So, from myself, Brent Caldwell.
And from myself, COVID-O-Matic.
May you be well, may you be happy, may you live with ease.
And may all beings live in peace.
Gonna take a lot of